This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Babe, how would you say your social battery is right now?
Probably non-existent since having Bear, but it's slowly coming back and I'm almost ready to get back out there and host a game night, babe. It's been too long.
I'm ready for that too.
I would say after having a baby, we've been in survival mode and haven't had a lot of extra time for socializing, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, we both know it's important to surround ourselves with community during hard times. So it's been a tough balance that we're trying to manage. We actually talked about this in therapy recently, and it's been really helpful to dig into.
We've been open about getting back into therapy after having our third baby, and it's been a great game changer for us. We recommend it to literally anyone, not just couples going through a hard season. It's a great place to learn how to set boundaries, communicate, and learn how to build a social life without draining your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, BetterHelp is an amazing option.
It's all online, so you can do whatever fits best with your schedule, which is perfect for us, especially with three babies.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and they let you switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/EastFam today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EastFam. Let's get back to it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things.
With Sean and Andrew.
A podcast all about couples.
And the things they go through.
Today, we have...
Taylor Kalmus and his wife, Heidi.
Yes.
You might also know him as the Dude Dad.
Yes.
And I've been watching the Dude Dad for years. He has millions of fans on Facebook. He's hilarious. And he also just came out with a book called... A Dude's Guide to Baby Size. So,
which is hysterical, and it's basically written by a comedian, which makes me super excited for this interview.
I know. We're pumped. I've never met his wife, Heidi, but she's actually maybe even the better part of their content. So if you want to find out more about Taylor and Heidi, we'll link their information down below. And also, if you want to buy his book called A Dude's Guide to Baby Size, where he makes hilarious comparisons to how large your child is at certain points of pregnancy... You can find that down below as well. So without further ado, let's bring you this interview with Taylor and Heidi.
Taylor, Heidi, pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Super excited to be here.
Thanks for having us.
You guys have a lot going on. I was just telling actually Heidi before we got going here that you live in a similar town that my friends do, and you are like living legends out there. So,
oh, that's cool.
I'm a fan from afar, but also you're just impacting your community, which is great to see. So excited to have the conversation, but you have a lot going on. So you have a TV show, Taylor.
Yes.
You got your social media, which is one of my favorite accounts.
Oh, thank you.
You have three kids together. And now you just came up with the book. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out where should we start this conversation.
That's like how I start every morning. What do I do today? And then I end up not doing anything. And I just get one more day behind on everything.
Yeah. That would be me if it weren't for mm-hmm. him. I'm the kind of person where I'm like, I just want to like hang out with the kids today. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. I like to just fill my day with little things and don't do the big thing I'm supposed to do. And just like, oh, well, I got that interview and I've got that meeting. And then, oh, I got to answer that email. And then, oh, it's 4 o'clock.
Oops, here we are.
Exactly.
I would love to start hearing the story of how you two met. Mm.
Do you remember when you first saw me?
Yeah, there was... zero interest.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, we were going to this school in South Dakota called University of Sioux Falls. And
sure, you've heard of it.
Yeah.
Go yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
But they, so I was a senior that year and he was a junior. And I did the school play that year for the first time because I'd never done like a school production before. So I was like, I'm almost done with my entire school career. I should probably experience this one time in my life. And I did, and I met this girl, and we just would talk about the most random things when we're supposed to be rehearsing. We would just be like in the back talking about stuff. Anyways, she was also, yeah, she was also in the theater production or in the theater department like Taylor. And she wanted me to do this one act. And I was like, I am not doing a one act. Like, I'm not an actor. Like, I'm just, no. And she was like, no, I think this will be really fun. It's just going to be a two-man show. It'll be you and my friend Taylor. He's coming back from LA. So let's just do it. And I was like, fine, whatever. So I already kind of had this like bad attitude about like, well, I don't really want to do this. And then he like just gets back from doing a semester in LA of film studies.
Yeah. 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 I was in LA for one semester. So I came back and I like literally on the drive home, the 24-hour drive, I get a call from our friend Ashley that's like, hey, I'm doing this directing play. You're going to be in it with my friend Heidi. I was like, all right, cool. That sounds like fun. Let's do it.
So I meet him and he colored his hair orange because he's trying to be.
I was California, bleach blonde hair, going for it.
Stop.
Yeah, right?
I looked awful.
Dang.
Yeah.
I looked stupid.
So we're like, we meet and the like first interaction I have with them. So my sister has a baby the day before we're supposed to like have our first rehearsal. And so I'm like.
Late.
And
wow. And it's just you two in this play.
So he calls me 3 minutes past when I'm supposed to be there. And he's like, where are you? And I was like, oh my gosh, who are you? Like, first of all, how'd you get my number? And second, what? Like, we're off to a great start. Great. So excited to meet you. Let's do this. So.
Also, you bleach your hair, bro. So don't be coming at me with punctuality.
Yeah. Hey. So we go, but get to the rehearsal. And actually, I had a lot of fun. I was like, oh, you know what? He's really good at this. This could be really easy. And this will be a lot of fun. So then we did have a lot of fun doing that. And
you got to tell him the contents of the play, because this is the weirdest part of it. Like, our friend Ashley is a little eccentric.
And this is a...
This is a Christian college.
A Christian like, college. Small Christian small college. Small Christian college.
And our friend Ashley's like, I'm going to put this play on. And it's about like this dude who's cheating on his wife with a prostitute. And the play opens with us. The play opens with us duct tape back to back.
In our underwear.
And we'd just gotten robbed.
What? But hold on a minute. All right. So our two oldest kids have been loving science experiments. We post about it all the time on Instagram. And lately we've been trying to find better ways to keep and continue their curiosity going.
Yes. And so I found KiwiCo with Drew when she was an infant, but have since graduated Drew and Jet, our two oldest, to like their science boxes, which helps them with like engineering, robotics, technology. And they love getting their hands dirty and in it. And the things that KiwiCo comes up with is amazing. So each month, if you subscribe or get a membership, you get a new box in the mail for your kid to open, and it's filled with goodies. I remember this as an infant, and it was amazing.
Awesome.
But now as a toddler, it's even cooler. They get to discover and build and create things with their science boxes that are amazing.
The activities are nonstop. You get to do things like engineering, robots. There's learning about science of ice cream. That was one of our kids' favorite. But they always do age-appropriate things as well, which is really cool and important. And it allows the teaching and learning process to go really smoothly.
Yes. My favorite thing about KiwiCo is that their boxes are age-appropriate. So as your kid gets older, the boxes develop with them. And it also kind of tells you where they should be developmentally. I remember as a parent, it's when I started KiwiCo as a kid, like as an infant, I loved that it gave parents tips to kind of encourage the educational process for your kid. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your child engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
That's right. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code COUPLE. Today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens.
Babe.
Yes, darling.
I can feel fall coming, and I am so excited.
Me too. I feel like fall, where we live here in Nashville, is the best time of year. But I'm also a little scared because cooler months means cold season is coming.
Yeah, and with the kids in school, we are really making sure we're getting in our extra AG1 these days.
That's right. I put one scoop of AG1 in my water each morning, which gives me 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start the day.
It is truly the best, and it also supports better sleep quality and recovery, and as a mom, I'll take any of that I can get.
Ditto. Their special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, focus, and aging.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/EastFam.
Again, that's athleticgreens.com/EastFam to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Let's get back to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were like in our, you know, in our Christian underwear. So like, you know, t-shirt, you know, shorts kind of a situation. Yeah. Right. But then like, I mean, I'm just gonna tell a story. There's like parts in the play where Heidi had to like fake an orgasm. Okay. I'm like, when I say it back, what was this? But that's how we met. So it's
that's how we met. That, like, it's important to know. But you know what? That catapulted us into the next piece because first of all, someone told me that because I was like, I'm not doing this play. And she was like, no, you can do this play because you are going to find the things that you love about people that you find unlovable.
Wow.
Number one, and you're going to be that. Number two, it helped me understand like pieces of people who are forced into this lifestyle. And then that was my career for 10 years. I worked with traffic victims, domestic sex traffic victims in the United States for 10 years. So very awkward start, but a very full life afterwards.
Wow.
I thought that got real deep real quick, Heidi. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's what
you're welcome.
So, it's like takes it real fun and light. And then she's like,
no. So overall, you're glad you did the play at the end of the day, Heidi?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But he was so funny because he was like, you know, I'm really good at coming up with things to do. And I was like, yeah, let's see it. And he's like, okay, I'm going to pick you up tonight at 9. And I was like, there's no way I'm going out with this guy by myself. So I made my best friend come with us to our first date. And we went luge boarding down the hills of Sioux Falls.
Wait, that's incredible.
What a freaking legend you are, T.
Right? I mean, how many other guys took you street luging?
Zero.
But here's the thing. Guess what shoes she showed up in?
What?
Like flip-flops?
Gucci's.
Gucci.
Yeah. Flip-flops. I don't know what street luging was. I was like.
Like literally the worst shoe you
could. Yeah, tear your feet apart probably.
Dang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't. Wait. We were safe.
Did you just have a luge sitting around or was this on a skateboard?
We made one. We made a couple.
Of course you did. Wait, is that where like the DIY project started? Or has that been like a part of your life, your whole life?
That's a kind of a part of my life. It was like something that, you know, I grew up on like an acreage in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota. So like, you know, we didn't have like arcades or movie theaters or like things to do. So we just kind of had to make our own fun. And my dad sells construction equipment. So we always had like a plethora of tools around. And so me and my brother kind of just, you know, started making stuff.
Dang. That's impressive. I could see. I mean, I'm curious how this progresses then. Because your first date is like, were you playing the adultering husband, Taylor?
You were playing in the
theater play. Yeah, you were the.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, that's, you know, out of the gate. A tough role to kind of walk into and be like, hey, I'm serious about a relationship, even given this. So then you do the first date. How did things progress from there with you two?
Oh,
slowly.
Well, it was slow for a little bit. Yeah. You know, you're in your last, well, I was in my last year of college and he's trying to figure out who he's in love with. I don't know. So, you know, there's a bunch of drama along the way, but you know, so there was one day we almost broke up and I was like, you know what? Let's talk about this. So we went to Perkins.
Love Perkins.
Let me tell you how he tried to break up with me. He tried to play me the song, Don't Stop Believing.
I love this.
Don't Stop Believing. And I was like, what are you doing? I guess the joke's still on me because I was the one that was like, we're not breaking up.
That's the funny thing is like, here I am doing this idiotic thing to break up with you. And you're like, yeah, no, I want to stay with this guy. this seems like a legit relationship. Oh, I want to stick this out, see where this goes.
But I was so mad at him for a few of the things that had led up to this moment that I was like, we're going to go to Perkins and we're going to be in public because neither one of us can really scream at each other then. And then I just basically laid it out of like, look, this is what you've been doing the last couple of months that is stupid, that I don't like, that I don't appreciate, that's not okay. And then he was like, all right, cool. Thanks for letting me know. So I guess we're both going to give us the best shot. And then we did. And then
here we are.
The rest is history.
Wait, and then how did the proposal go?
Oh, the proposal was super cute. So that was 3 years later.
Fargo.
In Fargo, North Dakota, where I grew up. So he had moved away to Los Angeles and I had stayed back in where we met in Sioux Falls.
For a year.
And I think like a lot of people would maybe not make it through that, but I think that really saved us because it was, you know, the heart makes or distance makes the heart grow fonder. But we also were both kind of pursuing our own things. And so so we kind of really knew who we both were by the time we rejoined and I moved to LA. We both really knew who we were and what we wanted. And yeah, that there was, neither one of us were feeling like we missed out on anything. So yeah, it worked.
Let me ask this. So Taylor's pursuing acting and then Heidi gets inspired to work in like the sex trafficking. How do I say that right? Sex. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anti-HT field. Yeah.
Two, you know, different, different vibes there. How are you navigating that?
I mean, I feel like, you know, we kind of balance each other out because Heidi's job and career was so heavy that like just kind of the silliness and the lightheartedness of what I was doing helped kind of balance her out. But at the same time, you know, both take an incredible amount of motivation and drive to continue to pursue every single day. So, I mean, having somebody alongside you who's also aspiring to something and working on something, you know, sort of like helped us both push forward, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But we also weren't in each other's fields at all. So there was zero competition.
Yeah.
At all to, you know, get on each other's skin or be like, well, I wouldn't do it that way, you know, or whatever it was. There wasn't any of that. It was just a lot of encouragement on both ends. So, yeah.
Yeah. Heidi's like the best support system you could ever ask for because she just like, just, you know, is there and helpful and, you know, makes you feel good about what you're doing.
Even if what you're doing is bleaching your hair.
No, she's not everything. Not everything.
Yeah. But
she'll let, well, and that's where she'll be helpful at redirecting and being like, nice. Hey, maybe this video is a bad idea.
Well, so you guys get married. How old's your oldest kid?
Six.
Wow. Okay. So you guys go down this route of like, you're married, you're starting a family. When down that road did you kind of leave the acting world? I guess you never really did to a certain extent and started like your own entrepreneurial kind of thing within your household.
I know the moment. I mean, it happened gradually, but I know the time frame that it happened because Heidi doesn't know this, but I'm currently editing a video about it. And like the video is basically about like how Heidi is such a huge part of what I do because of who she is and how she has supported me over the years. But there's one particular moment. It was like a year into Dude Dad. So we were a year into making videos and at the time I was an apartment manager and then I lost my job as an apartment manager because the owner sold the building and then the new company came in and they had their own people. So they're like, you don't have a job anymore and you need to move. Get out of here. You know,
they did. They came and told us you had to be out 24 hours.
Yeah.
They told us 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, no, that's not a thing. You're not doing that. We have a 1 year old. Like, no. What are you doing? You know? So we pushed back, but anyway, it was a very like traumatic time. So like, you know, not only did I have to go find a new place for us to live, I also no longer had a job. So I had to find a new job to make more money. Heidi changed nonprofit jobs so she could make a little bit more money. We were like dead broke. Like our first year of marriage, we made $25,000 collectively. like just
in LA.
Yeah. In LA. Yeah. Oh, like, granted, our rent was free, so that helped, but still, like, nothing. So then I got a job working set construction. So I'm working construction every week, along with, you know, putting out a new dude video every single week. And at the time, I'm still like writing, producing, editing, acting, all of it myself. No help, you know, other than just friends occasionally. And then also still trying to audition, you know, keep myself available to make all the auditions. And it was like way too much to handle. And I couldn't do it anymore. And I was like, you know, just burning it at both ends. And then we found out Heidi was pregnant.
With a second.
Oh my gosh.
With the second. So she's pregnant. And so there's a lot going on. I couldn't handle it anymore. And I finally broke down to Heidi. And I was like, I have to quit something. This is too much. Can't do all this. And without any hesitation, she looked at me and said, "You can't quit Dude Dad." And that was crazy because at the time we had like no following and it made no money, but she knew that there was something more there and she believed in me when I didn't believe in me. So, and that was it, because like, then I look back on that, I'm like, well, what did I cut out? And it was acting. I like slowly stopped going to auditions when they were all the way across town and it was going to wreck my whole day, you know, when I had other things planned to get a video shot or like a new little brand deal that came in that was worth $800, you know? So I stopped going to auditions and eventually my agent just dropped me. And so I look back and I'm like, oh, Heidi convinced me to quit acting.
Sorry.
No, but like, it was the best thing ever because it was the path that led us to where we are now. And I wouldn't trade this for anything.
If you know me, you know I love cereal. Our whole family does. And growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But now that I'm older, I know it's important to watch out for empty carbs and extra sugar. So I took a little break there from eating so much cereal. But now I've tried Magic Spoon. And Magic Spoon has classic flavors and the crunch you love, but it has way less sugar and it's high in protein.
We love Magic Spoon in the East household. I always get the variety pack. It has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs with only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free.
It's pretty wild to think a cereal can be high in protein and low carb and still taste delicious, but it does. I love eating a bowl of the fruity flavor after a workout for some extra protein. And Sean here loves the cocoa flavor as a snack before bed. We think everyone should try Magic Spoon and taste the difference themselves. Go to magicspoon.com/eastfam to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code EASTFAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/eastfam. And use our code EASTFAM to save $5 off.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Dang, dude, that's... I mean, you just said it in a handful of sentences, but I know, and clearly through the emotion, like... acting seemed like it was the goal for probably years, maybe decades, right? And so for that to be the thing that gets phased out to make room for something, that's so powerful. And I know there's a lot of pain and depth to that. And I was just reflecting, the NFL draft just happened. And so like I was just doing that same reflection process of like, dude, the NFL, that's what I wanted. I wanted football so bad. And I thought that was best for me, but then now I look back and it's like you don't want it any other way. And like I got hurt and beat up through that whole process, and it stunk sometimes. But like, it's good now. Things are good. So.
Well, and Heidi, relating to you, it's so hard. It's so hard as a spouse because there's so many times like you're almost an outsider. You have an outsider's perspective on your spouse because you see what they're going through. And there's been so many times from both of us where you get into those ruts where you're like overwhelmed and there's too much and you're like, I don't know what to offload. And we've even had conversations before where he'll say, I'm going to quit this. And I'm like, no, that's the wrong one. Like, I know that's the wrong one because it means too much to you, but you think it's someone you need to get rid of. And that's a really hard position to be in as a spouse, because you kind of have to like show support, and like it's almost like reverse psychology to a certain extent. You're like, I support you in everything, but maybe like try this one a little bit more.
But Heidi, what was it about Dude Dad that you didn't want Taylor to give up?
I mean, yeah. It wasn't making any money, but like the small amount of people that were responding to like how the very beginnings of it was just him talking about being a dad and like the experiences and little tiny moments. And I was like, who talks about this? Like, what dad is out there talking about his emotions? And then having other dads and moms like respond back with their own experience and relating so well. And I was like, you know, there's a thousand things in the world that you can do, but like when you find the spot where you're going to be able to be so relatable and connected to humans, like, you know, that's unmatched. So I was like, there's nothing that comes close to that. And you can make all the money in the world, but if you're not relating or connecting anybody or being, you know, then what are you doing?
Preach. No. Preach. Dang. Okay, so what was it about, how did you stumble into like Dude Dad as the even topic of what your videos were about? Why that? Why not like, it could be anything else that you were talking about, but you chose dad.
I mean, I've been making YouTube videos since I was like really little. Like
some of them are funny.
Yeah. When me and my brother started this channel called, well, it wasn't a channel because it wasn't this was before YouTube even happened. I was like 9 and we created our own Mad TV and we called it Bad TV. It was really bad. But like one of my favorites was Clint Eastwood in Hang 'Em Low. And like, it's me playing Clint Eastwood and I wrangle this guy down and then I hang him, but he has to hold his feet up.
Oh my gosh.
So stupid. Anyway, so I've been making videos, you know, from when I was little, but I did a bunch more in college, but I like always had an appetite for making my own content because I knew how to edit and all the things, you know, and then, and you know, as an actor, you kind of just have to continually stay creative, you know, because if you sit around and just wait for the next project that you get invited to be in, you might never do anything, you know? So I had like tried starting a sketch channel a couple of times with a few different people and it just never worked very well. And I've always felt like I was doing like most of the work. So when I found out Heidi was pregnant, I was like, okay, I don't know how much longer we can stay in Los Angeles. It's way too expensive. It's not good for families. I might have to give up this dream, but maybe I can still like make videos and have a creative outlet. And, you know, there's all these mom like blogs and people making videos about mom stuff, you know, and they're killing it. Maybe I could be like the dad version of that. So that's when I came up with Dude Dad. I actually loved the name Rad Dad, but I'm like, everyone's using that. I need something new. So I came up with the next closest thing, which was Dude Dad. And I just started making videos primarily about fatherhood as just sort of like a way to give myself a genre. And little did I know that like, I was like on the front end of a wave that was about to happen with culture and fatherhood and fathers being, you know, more involved. And like, there's all this stuff about like father paternity leave now. And like, just like, you know, I was just got on the front of that thing. And there was like a few other like sort of big fatherhood giants in the social media space. But like, I knew how to make videos and they didn't. So slowly, like,
and you were doing brand deals for those.
I started collaborating with some of them. At one point, one of them like stole my whole thing and I had to like do a cease and desist and everything. And whoa. Like, it was a,
yeah.
Yeah. They just like copied the format and then called it Dude to Dad. And I was like, what is this? You know, it was, wow. Crazy. And like, and I wasn't big enough to really fight much yet. I was just like, now there's this corporation that yeah. has all of these like tools and, you know, people to like
resources.
And resources to make my thing so much better. And they like there it was like their editing was so much sharper and crisper and everything. But at the end of the day, like, and you know, I had like a few good people in my life, you know, including Heidi, but like my mentor at the time was like, yeah, but they don't have you. Like the, you know, you're the gold. You need to just keep doing your thing and forget about them, you know? So anyway, wow. I don't remember the question.
How did you get
yeah.
to?
Yeah. I am curious though, with like content creation, especially the kind of empire you've created, it can be very, very consuming. We all are very aware that content creation can literally be a full-time job times 100.
I love it so much though, dude. I freaking love it. But go ahead, sorry.
because on top of you could just create and create and create and never stop, you're technically dictating your own hours. You could work all day and never stop and never create enough content on with the internet. Because your content is fatherhood, because everything around what you post is about giving back as a father and like all the morals behind it. How do you balance teaching and sharing content that is so good around fatherhood, but also being a good father?
That's a great question. It's something I, you know, kind of struggled with for a little bit.
But it is something we talk about often.
It is. And not all of our stuff is about fatherhood now. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's just about like marriage and stuff. And we found that, you know, the comedy path was easier because sometimes like it's hard to be insightful every week and have something like thoughtful and profound to say every week. I don't know how pastors do it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think they just bank on the fact that only half the parishioners listening each week. No, but it is something that's an element that I've used to keep myself honest, you know, that like, if I put out a video, you know, that shows me in one way, I really take that to heart and go like, okay, if this is who I'm telling people I am, I need to be that person. So then when I'm not being that person, like it hurts and I have to like keep myself in check, you know? But I think the other part of it is like, you know, in those videos where we like, you know, really talk about stuff or even just in stories and stuff, like I try to be very like honest about my struggle, you know, because I think that's more of what it's about, is like showing the vulnerability and who we are and that it's hard for us too, and not painting it like we're this pretty picture with everything. It's like an Instagram feed, you know, like you only show the good things, right? So, you know, trying to show the bad things too and being like, hey, I had a shouting match with my kid today in the yard and I'm super nervous and my kids all heard it, or all my neighbors all heard it, you know?
Okay. So question, for you, Heidi. So you make these comedy sketches together, but there are certain instances where it seems like Heidi's featured, you know, as the mom or the female, but then there's other instances where Taylor just says, I'm going to do both. I'm going to dress up. And how do you delineate between those two? How do you figure that out?
Well, sometimes it's really just about my availability, if I was available that day. But
that's other times, for sure. Yeah. That's part of it.
But other times it's when he needs to make the jokes and I'm not going to make them, you know? So he'll play me. I mean, yeah, there's all of the My Wife Be Likes are just, they're meant to make fun of, but also in a fun way to be like, see, this is funny. Like you can laugh at this, right? This is funny.
Yeah.
So, but you know, if you feel like you're being made fun of in some ways, then you're less likely to like deliver like the way it needs to be delivered to be relatable, you know? So, and I can get way too much into my head when we're like filming stuff. Like if there's anything that's like a super emotional scene, I have a really hard time with that. Like he has to basically act it out for me so that I can like give him the performance that he needs, or like the bit that he needs. Cause I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing There's that.
Sounds familiar over here.
Yeah, I don't know how much actual footage there is, but anytime like Heidi does a really emotional scene, there's a clip right before that of me doing it to be like, look, do it like this. Come up here. You're going to fall down the stairs. You're like, I can't do it. and then cry.
And then I'm like, okay. Yeah, it's like a literal, like talking yourself up in my mind to be like, okay, just do it. Just don't think about it too hard and go for it and just do it. And then he always uses those takes.
We go through that same thing. Oh, Sean, yeah. I have so many ideas where I'm like, Sean, I just need you to like act a little bit. And she's like, I'm not acting at all. You can't give me to act at all. So anyway, those ideas die. But what were you about to say?
She always nails it eventually though. And the thing that Heidi's really good at is just being herself. So like, yeah. And like reacting, she's really good at reacting in the moment and making it feel authentic, even if she already, like, even if it's the second take and she already knows what the bit is, you know, or what the prank is or whatever, she can come in and give us another like clean reaction that feels really real. And that's why we've like, you know, it is easier if I just play her because I know exactly what I want and want to get, but also then we can have more fun with it because then it becomes a perspective thing of like, this is how I see my wife. That's why it's my wife be like, and not moms be like, because yeah. It gives you that perspective of like, oh, this is how the husband sees his wife, you know? But then it also gives us that second video where Heidi gets to watch the video and react to it. And we found people like those just as much as the first video. Yeah.
Funny.
Dang.
Andrew and I have been talking about this a lot lately, and I'm sure other parents can relate. It seems like we buy our kids clothes and they grow out of them instantly, which is why we are so glad we found the brand Posh Peanut. Listen closely, guys. Their clothes are amazing quality and made from viscose, from bamboo. So they stretch with your kid as they grow and are 4 times stretchier than cotton. They have the cutest patterns too, from florals and Barbie to Disney and Hot Wheels. They have something for every kid that every kid will love, and they're truly made to last.
Jed asked to wear his Hot Wheels pajamas every night, and it's honestly... It is adorable. The fabric is really soft and stretchy, which comes in handy when you're still changing diapers.
Oh, for sure. Plus, I swear their clothes get even softer the more you wash them, which usually doesn't happen with kids' clothes.
We also love that their clothes are chemical-free, which means they're delicate enough for babies with sensitive skin, which is something we've been paying attention to for Bear.
Posh Peanut is made for infants and kids, but they also have sizes for moms and dads if you want the whole family to match. And if you're not a parent, consider this the perfect gift idea for any little one. For real, you guys, we love this brand and they're loved by over 1 million parents. Check them out.
Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code EastFam. Go to poshpeanut.com/EastFam and use promo code EastFam for 20% off your first order.
That's poshpeanut.com/EastFam, promo code EastFam. I'm headed there right now.
Let's get back to it.
So playing off of the question that I asked about like protecting almost like Instagram versus reality, your YouTube fatherhood versus fatherhood, with my wife be like, with the storytelling, with the comedy acts, with showing your family, your kids, how do you protect your marriage and your family? I know we've interviewed a lot of different people within this space of content creation that share their life, and everybody has a different take on it, but are there boundaries? Are there conversations? Are there working hours? Are there things that you guys have put in place to kind of protect your relationship and your family?
I think that there's some there's some just naturally built in, like as far as like hours and times, because our kids I'm not going to say needy. They're just kids at night and they want to be with mom and dad. So, and I don't have enough attention span to be able to like focus on them and something else at the same time. Like this morning, Taylor wanted to like list off some things and he wanted to like have this conversation about this thing. And I was like, I literally can't right now. I hear everything that the kids are doing and I'm like, I'm making breakfast, but I'm also so focused and can hear every single word they're saying to each other that I literally won't be able to hear a word that you say. So some of it's just built in. Of like what our kids need. And at night, like our daughter needs to sleep with us. She wants us to lay with her. It's kind of a non-negotiable for her going to bed. And I don't care. I love that moment with her. And so, so I'm not available at that time. And like, that's just kind of, he already has feelings about that, but that's just kind of like where some things lie, is like just whatever our kids need. And because my own capacity just can't keep up with two worlds at once, that's just naturally built in. And our son calls him out all the time, because he's starting to want to play on his own iPod and all the things. Mm-hmm. So we've put time limits on like what he can, how long he can be on, and he'll be like, well, dad's on his phone. Why does he get to be on his phone more? And I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah. Dad, why are you on your phone right now? Why are you on your phone? You know,
because I'm paying for your college, kid.
Yeah, exactly. So, but there's just some built-in stuff like that where he's watching and I'm like, seriously. And like Taylor will just be like finishing an email or having to respond to something. I'm like, I get it, but you really have to put it down now. You have to set it down, because he's looking at you wondering why you're there and not with him, you know?
Yeah. But I think there is also, like, in terms of content, there's not too many boundaries of what we won't talk about, you know, with our relationship. With our kids, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
And if there is something that we don't want to talk about in a relationship, it's almost instinctive that we know that we shouldn't, you know. But for the most part, like, I feel like we've gotten pretty comfortable with being very open. And I'm proud of that, because like, I think the more vulnerable we are, the more real we are, the more relatable we are, the more it helps other people with whatever they're dealing with, you know, if they see us dealing with it and having that, you know, fight or that issue, that they can like go, oh, okay, me and my wife aren't, you know, get self-destructing right now. Like, mm-hmm. A lot of couples go through this.
Yeah.
But I think the other piece is that nothing goes unsaid between the two of us. So usually by the time it's to camera or that, yeah, you know, it's gotten brought up, we already know where the other one stands on it. And we've already had a little bit of discussion. Yeah, so like it's not like attacking
each other. You know? The spouse fights videos. Like we've done two different videos now where it's like top five spouse fights. So we've had 10 different fights now. Every single one of those is a legitimate real fight that we have ongoing. Right? Like it's, yeah. And you know, I write them and, you know, make sure I show them to Heidi and stuff. But I think the reason it works is that I make sure in the writing process that I'm showing her, that I'm giving a solid representation to her point of view and a solid representation of my point of view. So the audience can decide what their point of view is, but no one looks like, no one looks more insane than the other person.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like we both look insane, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking back to the last time we did one, because we were writing it and we like got in a fight about writing it. And I'm like, he's like, this is it.
This is perfect.
This is it.
Let's do it. Get the camera. Perfect. Yeah.
That's one of Andrew's favorite questions to ask people is, we'll be on like double dates and he's like, what's your like number one fight?
No. And I asked it one time and then I realized that it's the wrong question to ask.
Because it's never resolved.
Because yeah, those fights are ongoing.
Yes.
Yeah.
How can we have an awful night this year?
Enjoy your fight. Well, good hanging.
A funny story is the one couple he did ask, it was almost as if that argument just picked straight back up. And it was like they just went cold to each other for the rest of the night. We're like, oh shoot.
It was, sorry. Yeah, it was regarding, we were having like such good conversation. Just yeah. Like, you know, it was just awesome night. And then I was like, so what would you say your biggest fight? I don't know what, I'm an idiot. Like, that's why I asked the question. And they were like, it was actually regarding the Sabbath and should you, oh shoot, what was it? Like, should it be fully a day of rest or like not? And that was their biggest fight. And so like, they were like, yeah, it's, you know, it's about how seriously we should take this app. They're like, what do you mean take it seriously? It's in the butt. You know? Like, oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Yeah. Anyway, I'm curious, Taylor, what is your creative process? Do you have like a process or a practice?
I'm way too type B. but so like, the way I've kind of like tried to explain it to my team, and everyone, you know, kind of has to learn to go with the flow, And when I have, you know, I have my two best friends, DJ and Burke, who are helping now as well. And they'll come up with ideas and write stuff as well. But the videos that get made the quickest are the ones where something happens between us, or, you know, we see something, or, you know, the kids do something crazy and I'm inspired with an idea. And then, like, when I have an idea that I like, I can't stop until it's done, you know?
Very true.
When I'm not sure how to get the idea off the ground, it will take a long, you'll drag me kicking and screaming to finish it, you know, or to figure it out, you know? And that's where, like, DJ comes in, like, handy. Like, I have, like, this golf analogy where DJ is a really good, like, driver, right? Where he can hit the ball down the fairway and get the round started. And then Burke is my caddy because he can help kind of figure out how to get the thing done. And then I'm there just trying to make decisions along the way and they're helping me get there. And then we get the whole thing shot and then DJ puts it in. Yeah.
That's great. Book recommendation. And then we'll talk about your book, but The War of Art talks, yeah. It's a really interesting take on the creative process. And I'm taking you as a creative type, so you might enjoy it. But speaking of books, let's talk about your new book coming out in May.
A Dude's Guide to Baby Size.
Let's go.
By the way, phenomenal name. I love that name.
Thank you. I'm glad you do, because I've had sleepless nights wondering if it was the wrong name.
No, I love it.
Okay. So, cool.
So let me just, I think this is a take from your trailer that you made on it, which I loved so much. Very well done. But it says, it's all about a dude's relate. Like, you know, there's a bunch of books about their baby's development and comparing them to a raspberry or a stalk of broccoli. But you say, first of all, your baby is not some wimpy little vegetable. Your baby is like a hardcore little lug nut who's straight up growing organs on a weekly basis, which I feel like gives a good take on what the book is. But what was the inspiration behind this?
Essentially that, like, we were pregnant with Juno at the, she was pregnant with Juno at the time. And I was there and there was just, I just kept noticing all these apps and stuff talking about lug nut or about vegetables and fruit and compared to how big your baby was. And I was like, what the hell's a kumquat? Like, I don't know what that is. That's zero relevance to me. I'm like, there needs to be a version of this that's for men. So I came up with the idea back then. I started writing it. And then I was like, I don't know how to get a book published. Let's just shelf this idea and maybe someday it'll come back around. And then, God, it's been a couple of years ago now, mm-hmm. when I got like an opportunity with a book agent who then connected me with Penguin Random House, mm-hmm. and my editor, Andrew, who just so happened to be like a huge fan of mine, and his wife was pregnant while we were writing the book.
Wow.
So like, it was just like a perfect scenario. But originally it was going to just be like a coffee table book that had like a picture and a page, you know? Yeah. And then they pushed it further than that. So it became, you know, it goes way past pregnancy. So now like the first chapter basically like tells you what's happening with the baby and with the mom, which I think is amazing, because I think as, you know, expecting dads, like, we see our wives going through all this stuff and we're like, you need pickles or ice cream, or, you know, like that's the only thing we know. Yeah. But to have like, you know, information that is written for guys to help understand what they could be doing during this time, other than just being on the sidelines, is huge. But then after that, so the first, you know, paragraph of each chapter kind of like gets that out of the way. And then after that, it uses the item to sort of dive into a story that I have from my past as a dad, or even from my childhood, that relates to the item, but, you know, is, that uses the item to, you know, to jump off into like a story time about like a fatherhood lesson. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's really just like a great way to just get, you know, new dads' minds, you know, turning about like, okay, what is this going to be like? What, you know, what should I be doing right now? What should I be thinking about right now? what kind of dad do I want to be? You know,
because again, there's not very many things out there for dads to learn how to connect emotionally to that process.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
You know, so.
Or even just prep and like be thinking about or being inspired, you know?
But the book is not, it's not that big, you know? And so like we went to the Olive Garden the other night and did the live from Olive Garden because he talks about Olive Garden in there. But
chapter 24, your baby is now the size. Wait, this is 24?
I think so.
Forget. Now the size of a bowl of Olive Garden soup and breadsticks.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's a way better reference point than an eggplant, which I've never seen a grown eggplant in my life.
Well, and all have different eggplants are all different sizes.
Week 25, I'm sorry. They're very close.
But people were replying and they were like, well, my husband's not going to read. And I was like, well, read it to him. Also, we have an audiobook.
Yeah.
You know?
And audiobooks are great because that's how I do it too. I'm an audiobook guy.
1 in 5 Americans have, quote, learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Plus, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Andrew and I have been learning Spanish on Babbel, and it's been so fun. We've wanted to learn a new language for so long and have finally started. We've learned how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without having to consult language apps, which is so cool.
It's crazy how fast your brain picks up a new language when it's presented in a relatable way. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/eastfam. Again, get 60% off at babbel.com/eastfam, spelled BABBEL.com/eastfam. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah.
Heidi, as a mom of three, having gone through 3 pregnancies, have you read it? And our thing, like, would you agree that everything's side by side? Because I do believe that was one of the hardest things with our daughter, our first baby, is as a first dad, you have no idea, one, as the wife or spouse, to like communicate how I need help and support, and two, how to like explain what's going on and how to prepare, because books literally only tell the mom like, oh, you should probably start thinking about this. So I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah. So I have read the whole book with him. He read it all out loud
to me
through different days, doing dinner, after dinner, after
usually
bedtime,
while she's
sitting in the bathtub, you know, all the things. So I have heard all of it. All the stories are really great and relatable. And I think it does do a great job at, I mean, it's not going to go into all the details that a woman needs to know about her body, because that's not the point of the book, but it does do a good job of giving a good perspective of what's going on. And then, like how to connect to the process. And he does give ideas. I can't remember if it's every chapter, but there's one chapter in particular where there's like, 10 to 12 different action items that you can take right now to help help the baby's mama.
Yeah. That's
awesome.
Yeah. There's probably 4 or 5 times where there's like, gives ideas of what you can do or what you can be thinking about.
Yeah.
So who came, because there is advice on how to help the mom to be. Heidi, did that advice come from you, or is that more tailored, inspired?
I think it's both.
That's good.
Yeah. Because there was a couple of things that he read to me. I'm like, no, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Take that out.
I just, to the wives who say their husbands won't read, I disagree. There's just not a lot, to your point, Heidi, of material meant for husbands on this subject. So it's like, I would read the heck out of this book
You know, like, because it's targeted towards me, and I've already recommended this book to a handful of our friends. We have so many friends who are like pregnant right now.
8 friends pregnant, which is crazy.
It's awesome. Yeah. But like, you're right, because reflecting back on when Sean was pregnant with Drew, our first, it's like the guy wants to be supportive. Mm-hmm. He's there. Like, you know, I went to every doctor's appointment, but you have no idea. Like, you got no clue. And so it wasn't until like our pediatrician or the doctor was like, okay, hey, so, you know, your wife's feet are throbbing. You should like massage them. It's like, you know, I just don't have the intellectual capability to have that inspirational thought on my own. So
you're also like a super thoughtful guy. So like, imagine the guys, like we, like some of it, we make it really simple and straightforward. Yeah. Like, hey, she might not say it, but she wants you to go to the doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like if it's your third one, like maybe you're taking care of the other kids and you just go to a few of the important ones. But if it's your first baby, go to as many of them as possible, you know? And my editor was like, well, you know, some guys have jobs and stuff, so maybe we want to phrase it more like that. I'm like, I was like, women have jobs too. Like she's got to go to every single one. Why don't you also go to every single one? Like, figure it out. Like, if you really can't go, then you won't go. But at least you'll feel guilty.
True.
What is your desired effect with this book, Taylor?
I mean, I just hope that it, like, inspires and gets men, like, engaged early on in the process, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when our first one, it was, like, the last 2 months of pregnancy. And I had, you know, been going to all the appointments and stuff with her.
Had a lot.
But in, like, the last, like, 2 months, I remember having, like, a mental, like, freak out of, like, oh crap, I'm about to be a dad and I haven't read anything. I don't know what I'm doing. What's going to happen? You know? So like, and also like, I know that there's a lot of the pregnancy books that are really boring. So I'm like, I feel like I can, you know, bridge that gap a little bit and make something that's like, you know, attainable and easy and accessible and speaks to, you know, speaks in a way that men can like relate and understand, you know, and answers the questions that they want to know. Like, are we ever going to have sex ever again? You know, like, you know, it's in there, like, cause they, you know, it's embarrassing, but 100% every guy has that question of like, is it over? You know?
I was speaking to my buddy, they have a baby due in 5 weeks. And he's like, dude, me and my wife hadn't had naked time in 6 months. Like since the first trimester, I was like, oh dang.
Oh my God.
It's okay.
That's supposed to change second time.
It's supposed to change second time.
I know. It's the desert out there, though. All right. We'll close with this. I'm curious. Heidi, what are you most proud of for Taylor? And then we'll go vice versa, too.
Oh, my gosh. Andrew. I don't know how to answer that because, like, someone was asking us that question the other day, and I was like, how do you tell some... how do you tell like somebody that how to live life without just how proud of them and how like incredibly grateful you are that they're in your life? Like, I don't get it. Like you're everything. I don't get it. So I don't know how you can be everything, you know, but I think,
you trying to say you want to make out after this?
I'm saying, so I think the biggest way to understand like how impactful it is that there's fathers all over literally the world that are inspired by like what he created and what he did. So I think that's what I'm most proud of is just that, like, not only do I see it, like a wife is going to see the things that they love about their spouse, but it's something else for like a globe to see that, you know? So I think that's what I'm most proud of.
That's well said.
Thank you.
Okay, Taylor.
I'm like the most proud of your authenticity and like you are exactly who you are. And anybody that ever sees anything, you know, with you in it or about you, like there is zero veil or it's just, you're just 100% authentic that like you're who you say you are, you're who everyone thinks you are. And I think that's why people like you better than me. But that's why I like you better than me too, because you're just real, and like the real person you are is a very generous, like thoughtful human being that's just like a giver.
Thank you.
Well, Taylor, I'm glad you said that, because we really just wanted to interview Heidi. Yeah. But since you were the one writing the book, we decided.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is, I mean, it's great. You guys, first of all, your videos are hilarious. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. But what's very apparent is the comedy and the source of that, I think, is so sticky and powerful and relatable, because it comes from this place of like, you guys have experienced the realness of the arguments that you're making skits about now, and just everyday life problems. And you're not like, it's not like Taylor and Heidi are, you know, skipping through life laughing all the time. It's like, no, you just have this general approach that like, hey, this is good, and it's all working towards the good. So I really appreciate you giving us the time. And for those listening who haven't checked out Doodad, we'll link that down below. And also Taylor's new book that he wrote with Heidi's wisdom. It's called A Dude's Guide to Baby Size. Check it out. It's out May, and congratulations on everything. Glad to know you now.
Yeah, you guys as well. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, I was super stoked to know we were going to come on a podcast with you. Thanks for taking us to therapy today.
Yeah. Hopefully we didn't spark any arguments.
Seriously. Anyway, this was fun.
No, I feel like we're leaving very connected. Yeah. So like you guys have that power. I appreciate it.
I'm going to go make out now.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, real quick for all of those listening out there. We don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think. Babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today, all right? If you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners, and some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode. And again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention, because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.